the model that many biotech companies are following now is to develop a drug that is very effective and to price it at a high level. But as these prices increase, the boom could very well create the conditions for its own undoing by prompting social and political action.
That is MIT biology historian Robin Scheffler. He points out the conundrum at the heart of the Massachusetts biotech revolution. Each year brings stunning new treatments for rare and common diseases. Some are even cures, but each carries a jaw-dropping price tag. Today, in our BioBoom series, correspondent Richard Knox looks at proposals to make million-dollar miracle cures more affordable while sustaining the BioBoom.
Jack Hogan was born with an extremely rare genetic defect, so he's never been able to see much in dim light. And at the age of 13, he faced the certain prospect of going totally blind in his 20s. But this spring, a Boston eye specialist injected 3 drops of a precious liquid into each of Jack Hogan's eyes. They contain billions of copies of a gene Jack needs for his eyes to convert light into sight. 27 days later, Jack got the thrill of his life.
It was like 7:30. It was like a little dim out. And that's normally when I go in. And so I went to go get pizza with my friend. I left from the pizza place around 8:30, 9, and it was pitch black out. And I rode my bike home all by myself. Like, I've never rode my bike at all at night. And now I can. I'm gonna go so fast. I feel like a new kid.
Now Jack can see 3 times better in dim light than before. In daylight, for the first time, he can see what his teacher writes on the classroom whiteboard. The treatment that restored Jack's eyesight is called Luxturna, and it costs $850,000, and that's just for the drug alone. Dr. Peter Bach runs the drug pricing lab at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York.
If you treat one person with Luxturna, you've spent as much money that year as you would have spent covering 32 families of 4 with commercial insurance.
So how do companies set prices? I asked Jeff Morazzo, the CEO of Spark Therapeutics, how his company priced Luxturna.
Yeah, what I can say is that we ultimately tried to answer the question, what is the value of sight in a young child who has a substantial portion of their life in front of them?
Spark figured in the lifetime earnings that patients would lose if they weren't treated, and they looked at what courts have awarded plaintiffs who've lost their sight.
When you look out over a lifetime, the value of sight is worth more than $1 million.
But the company wanted to avoid the optics of a $1 million price tag.
Because we heard concerns from patients about access and from payers about budgetary impact, but we also had to consider how and what price would allow us to work and reinvest in other gene therapies that could help patients with other diseases.
In the end, Spark decided $850,000 per treatment was enough. Some point out that genetic disorders like Jack Hogan's are so rare that treating them is a drop in the ocean of our $3.5 trillion health system. It's the sum total of all the million-dollar miracle cures that's worrying many in biotech and beyond, including Bob Coughlin, president of the Massachusetts Biotechnology Council.
My opinion is that if our industry doesn't change our behavior, somebody in government's going to be forced to do it for us. And as a former person that sat in government, you can't expect an elected official to have the experience and the knowledge to fix this the right way. It's too complicated.
Steam is building behind an effort to align the price of drugs with the benefit patients get. It's called value-based pricing. The movement is led by a Boston-based nonprofit called ICER, the Institute for Clinical and Economic Review. ICER considers itself a watchdog over drug pricing. The group uses a complex method to calculate how many years of high-quality life a particular treatment will provide. To be considered affordable, ICER says a treatment generally shouldn't cost more than $150,000 for each of those high-quality years. When ICER put Luxturna through this analysis, their verdict on its worth was very different from the company's. Dr. Stephen Pearson is ICER's president.
We estimated that you would still need to have the price come down about 50% to somewhere around $400,000.
Not surprisingly, Jeff Morazzo from Spark disagrees.
I just don't actually believe they captured the true quality of life impact in a patient.
But Pearson insists there have to be price limits, even for patients with rare conditions.
As exciting a treatment like Luxturna is, and as small as the patient population is, we might think we can pay almost any price, but we can't, because there will be a growing number of treatments like this, and we have to create a system that is ultimately affordable and sustainable.
ICER's brand of rigorous price setting is a radical departure. Pharmaceutical companies have always priced their products at whatever they think the market will bear, and they've never had to explain why. Also, legacy drug companies like to market drugs that people have to take every day, so their prices can be lower. While today's biotech innovators aim to create so-called one-and-done products like Luxturna. Jeff Morazzo and others in the industry say big upfront costs for their products are justified by avoiding downstream costs like hospital stays and endless prescriptions.
The aspiration should be better health for patients, not manufacturers getting paid for providing more interventions, pills, whatever it is.
But even rigorous value-based pricing won't solve the affordability problem. That's because everybody assumes most new innovative therapies will still carry an eye-popping price tag, such as the nearly $500,000 ICER thinks Luxturna is worth. In Jack Hogan's case, his parents won't have to pay. That was all worked out between their health insurer and Spark Therapeutics. But Jack's mom, Jeanette Hogan, says that when it comes to her son, the cost of the treatment doesn't matter.
I really didn't care. If I had to be billed for it, I had to be billed for it. And listen, if I had to pay $50 a month for the rest of my life for it, hey, I'd do it. I mean, you find a way.
Of course, to pay for Jack's treatment, the Hogans would have to shell out more like $2,400 a month for 30 years. But Jeanette Hogan is hitting on an idea that the biotech industry is taking very seriously. Maybe insurers and government programs should pay for pricey new treatments over time, like a mortgage. Again, Jeff Morazzo.
What we're working on is a concept where payments could be made over time as long as the therapy continued to show benefit in the patient.
And this is nonsense.
Peter Bach, the drug pricing expert, thinks mortgaging drugs would just encourage more astronomical prices.
What mortgages do is they are inflationary. You pay considerably more today if you're going to spread out the cost over 20 years. That's why people can buy homes, of course, that are way more than their annual income.
Nevertheless, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, among other insurers, is trying to figure out how it could pay off some drugs over 3 to 10 years. That's tricky when patients frequently bounce around from one insurer to another. But Harvard Pilgrim's medical director, Dr. Michael Sherman, says insurers may have no choice.
Quite candidly, we have been unwilling to play the card that if the drugs are too expensive, we're going to keep them away from our members whom we know need them.
In other words, no insurer wants to say, no, you can't have that miraculous new drug. One possible alternative to such painful rationing is government price controls. Biotech leaders worry that could stifle innovation. To avoid either, the wizards of the bioboom will have to get as creative about paying for miracles as they are about inventing them. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Richard Knox.